It is nearly 12 o'clock and time for the KMXT Midday Report. Thank you for listening to KMXT, broadcasting on 100.1 FM. It is your public radio station here in beautiful downtown Kodiak, Alaska, where it is 34 degrees under fairly fair skies. At the airport, they are showing completely calm winds, 54% humidity, and 10 miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for mostly sunny skies today, partly cloudy overnight, with isolated showers this afternoon. High near 41 today, with west winds to 15, gusting to 20. Those west winds expected to continue overnight. For tomorrow, a chance of rain and snow between 9 a.m. and noon, followed by rain, and that rain could be heavy at times tomorrow. Look for southwest winds to turn to the east to 30 in the morning and gust as high as 35 tomorrow. Coming up on the Midday Report, Kodiak Island Borough Manager Amy Williams has exceeded 6 months in office, making her the longest-serving manager for the island in 2 years. Alaska communities are gearing up to get federal funding to address climate change, and more after national headlines.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. Former President Donald Trump's finished testifying in his own defense in a $250 million civil fraud trial in New York City. He emerged from the courtroom a short time ago.
This is a scam, and this is a case that should have never been brought, and it's a case that now should be dismissed.
Moments later, State Attorney General Letitia James said she would not be bullied.
He falsely inflated his assets to basically enrich himself and his family. He continued to persistently engage in fraud.
NPR's Jimena Bustillo has more on Trump's testimony today.
There were some tense exchanges between the judge and Trump's legal team. Judge Engoron at one point saying that he was beseeching the Trump team to, quote, control him on the stand. He felt that Trump was going on long speeches and tangents that included additional comments, not only about his properties at hand that he was being questioned on, but his own political current process, as we know he's running for president, but also how he thought the judge was politically motivated and how he thought the attorney general who brought this lawsuit against him is, quote, a hack.
NPR's Jimena Bustillo reporting. The New York State AG says the court will hear testimony from Trump's eldest daughter, Ivanka Trump, on Wednesday. The Palestinian Health Ministry in Gaza says more than 10,000 people have died in just under 4 weeks of conflict between Israel and Hamas militants in Gaza. NPR's Ruth Sherlock reports on this grim new marker of violence.
The reported toll of 10,000 people now dead in Gaza doesn't distinguish between civilians and Hamas fighters, but health officials in Gaza say at least 4,100 of those are children. The Israeli offensive on Gaza comes in response to the surprise attack by Hamas fighters, who almost a month ago on October 7 infiltrated Israel and killed 1,400 people and took another 240 people hostage. Today, the heads of several major United Nations bodies made a united call for a humanitarian ceasefire, saying that amid the intense Israeli airstrikes, Gaza's population is being, quote, bombed in their homes, shelters, hospitals, and places of worship. Ruth Sherlock, NPR News.
The father of the young man charged in last year's Independence Day mass shooting in suburban Chicago has pleaded guilty to 7 counts of reckless conduct, one for each person his son, Robert Cremo III, allegedly killed in Highland Park. Robert Cremo Jr. had been looking at what could have been years behind bars for helping his teenage son obtain a gun license, even though his son had previously threatened violence. U.S. stocks end the day higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 34 points to settle at 34,095. This is NPR News.
NPR News is presentada a usted en parte por la Providence Kodiak Island Centro de Asesoramiento. Para una cita o más información, por favor, llama al 907-481-2400.
For KMXT, I'm Terry Haynes. Alaska communities are gearing up to target an unprecedented level of federal funding dedicated to addressing climate change. Rural Alaskans are seeing some of the most severe effects of human-caused climate change, and the Alaska Municipal League, headed by Nils Andreessen, is working to prepare those communities to win some of this grant money.
We're not competing against each other, right? We're competing against 20,000 other cities in America, and if we can help Alaska communities be in a better position to compete, then they can start to address some of the real issues that they're experiencing in their communities.
The Alaska Municipal League secured its own $500,000 grant from the Environmental Protection Agency last month to do this work. Over the next 3 years, they'll work with the University of Alaska Anchorage, the State Health Department, and the Alaska Federation of Natives to assess how climate change is affecting health in rural Alaska and help rural communities to develop individual plans to address climate change. These are called climate action plans, and communities often need them to apply for federal funds. Micah Hahn is a UAA researcher involved in developing these plans. She says climate change affects the health of rural Alaskans in many ways, from threatened subsistence resources to extreme weather.
Water and sanitation might be another one that comes up. A lot of the communities don't have piped water and so are relying on pipes that are above the ground. And as permafrost is thawing, the pipes break, essentially.
Hahn says those issues need to be addressed, and that going through this assessment process will help communities to identify what they need to address climate change on the ground. Andreessen says they hope to start work by the beginning of next year. An historic downtown Juneau building that hosted the first territorial Alaska legislature is being demolished. KTOO's Yvonne Crumry has more.
An excavator tore into a long, empty, historic building downtown on Wednesday. David McCasland, owner of Deckhand Dave's and the outdoor food court in the adjacent lot, bought the former Elks Hall building this summer. He says he was hoping for a different outcome for the building.
Just let them know that I tried, that was my main intention, and that the building was totaled and it wasn't savable.
McCasland hired Northwind Architects for the project. Shannon Crossley is an architect with the firm and a historic preservationist in Juneau. She's also on the city's Historic Resources Advisory Committee.
So it sat uninhabited for, I think, 3 years or something like that. And the conditions in the building just got worse and worse. And so eventually it turned from how do we save this building to how do we try to maintain the facade in some way. And then that wasn't feasible anymore. It was just a really sad story.
Crossley says by the time the building changed hands, it was far too expensive to save any piece of it. McCasland had a personal connection to the building.
I actually worked in it like 10 years ago. And I remember like being like, man, it'd be so awesome to own this building. This building is so sweet.
McCasland had been making offers on the building for years. Crossley said in that time, the conditions worsened.
And because they couldn't agree on a price for that building, it just languished.
According to the Alaska Division of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, Eric Emmert and Deborah Percy were the previous owners of the building. Attempts to reach them were unsuccessful. The building was built in 1908 and hosted the first territorial Alaska legislature in 1913.
And then the first thing that they voted on was to give women the right to vote.
On the first floor was a Turkish bath and bowling alley, and the second floor housed a ballroom. The third floor, where the legislature met for the first time, was removed in the 1940s, and the outside was renovated to the stucco look it had until its demolition. More recently, it housed the Rockwell Restaurant and Bar downstairs. Crossley says Juneau's historic buildings hold the authenticity of the town.
And when we lose that historic fabric, it's gone forever. So I would love to see more of a community investment in the historic buildings of Juneau.
Crossley says public funding that supports preserving and using historic buildings would help prevent this fate for other sites. McCasland isn't certain of his plans for the lot. In the past, he's publicly talked about creating housing and restaurant space. He says he's trying to figure out what's possible financially. In Juneau, I'm Yvonne Cremery.
Support for KMXT comes from Alaska's most advanced network. GCI's resilient and redundant network is keeping schools connected across the state. Details at gci.com/education.
Kodiak Island Borough Manager Amy Williams is now the longest-serving manager for the island in 2 years. She was appointed in May after serving as the borough's mayor. She had her six-month review on Thursday night. The island has had a tough time keeping borough managers around since the assembly fired its manager in 2021. Most of the last 2 years, the position has been filled by an interim manager. Assembly members have approved a few people for the position, but one turned down the contract offered. Another was fired after her six-month review. Williams said in a phone call that her favorite part of the job so far has been getting to know her new team. She also said she plans to stay in the position for at least the next 5 years, or as long as the assembly will have her. Alaska's Trust Land Office is planning to sell dozens of parcels of waterfront property on Petersburg's Mitkoff Island in the next couple of years. It's part of a larger statewide effort to sell land to pay for mental health services throughout Alaska. KFSK's Hannah Floor reports.
The purpose of the Alaska Mental Health Trust Authority is to improve the lives of Alaskans with mental health issues. It sells its land to make money for advocacy and grant-making. Allison Biostock is a spokesperson for the Trust Land Office, which is contracted to manage the land.
Beneficiaries of the trust include any Alaskan who experiences a mental illness, a substance use disorder, a traumatic brain injury, an intellectual or developmental disability.
One piece of trust property on Mitkoff Island is at Blind River Rapids. It's already up for sale with the trust fall land sale auction. It's a popular recreation site, 14 miles south of town, where residents and visitors fish for king and coho salmon. Other sites chosen for future sale include more waterfront parcels at Blind River Rapids, as well as at the mouth of Blind Slough and north towards Papke's Landing. The state requires the land office to notify the public anytime it plans to sell land. Deputy Director Jeff Green says part of the reason for public notice is to allow for public comment.
And that public notice is put on our website, it's sent to the local newspaper, put up on the state's public notice website, it's sent to the local government, if there is one, and it's sent to the regional Native Corporation.
The Trust Land Office published a public notice for many land sales throughout the state in the Petersburg Pilot Weekly Newspaper on October 13th of 2022. The Land Office intends to sell the majority of those by 2025. It stated that a public comment period was open for 30 days. The notice was general in nature and outlined an intent to sell, quote, a number of trust parcels through the Trust Land Office's statewide land sale programs, unquote. It went on to list communities close to the land chosen for sale, which included Petersburg, Big Lake, Wasilla, and others. It noted that the descriptions of the parcels could be found in the Written Best Interest Decision, but there was no link or direction to that decision on the public notice. Green said in an email that the trust did not receive any public comments on their intent to sell the Mitkoff Island parcels. The public notice states that the executive director will consider comments that question whether the sale is in, quote, the best interest of the Alaska Mental Health Trust and its beneficiaries, unquote. Green says the trust only accepts public comment that relate to the best interests of the trust, in other words, making money for the benefit of those with mental health issues. Several of the selected parcels of waterfront land on Mitkoff Island are along popular sport fishing areas at Blind River Rapids and the mouth of Blind Slough. Green says the land sales will not affect fishing in those areas.
You know, they'll still have access to the fishing. The trust only owns the uplands. Everything below the mean high tide line is owned and managed by the State of Alaska Division of Mining, Land and Water. And that access will remain as it has always been.
Most people access Blind River Rapids by foot along the tide line. Mean high water, or high tide, is 14.7 feet. Anything above that point would be private property once the sales are complete. In Petersburg, I'm Hannah Floor.
Dia de los Muertos, or Day of the Dead, is a Mexican and Mexican diaspora celebration of people who have died. According to belief, in early November of every year, the dead can visit the human realm. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra met with organizers and artists as they prepared for a community celebration in Anchorage this year.
Event organizers Indra Arriaga Delgado and Itzel Zagal are in the back corner of the Out North Gallery in Anchorage. They're ruffling through a cardboard box. Inside the box are rows of white skulls decorated with bits of colorful icing. Delgado holds up a skull, or calavera.
Can you tell me what you're holding?
Una calaverita de azúcar. Calavera de azúcar. It's a sugar skull. But
these sugar creations came from markets in Mexico. They're a typical gift and decoration for Dia de los Muertos. Delgado says the holiday is a day when people connect and celebrate ancestors and loved ones who have died.
And it's a way of spending time with them because we believe that on this day, they come back and you coexist with them. So when you put up an altar, you put your best out there. Because just like any guest of honor, any person that you love who's coming to visit you, you're going to be at your best.
Around the edges of the room, people are setting up altars for the holiday. They're colorful and covered with decorations, photographs, and electric candles. By November 2nd, the room will be filled with around 15 altars, each designed and created by a different person or organization. And the altars will hold offerings of water, salt, various foods, and pan de muerto, a type of bread made for the holiday. The celebration in Anchorage starts with a ceremony outside the gallery. Co-organizer Zagal calls to the four winds and to welcome ancestors. She burns copal, a fragrant tree resin. Her 10-year-old son plays a caracol seashell instrument. Lights on the altars will also guide the dead to the celebration. This is the first year Olivia Frankie is making a public altar with an offering, or ofrenda.
We have the three layers, the three tiers of the ofrenda. We've got red and orange tissue paper, flowers decorating it. We're using battery-powered candles.
This altar is in memory of missing and murdered Indigenous women, girls, and Two-Spirit people. It's through Frankie's work with Native Movement as a community education coordinator.
And then we've got a calavera, is the sugar skull block print we made, we put that up.
At home, Frankie's been celebrating for the past 5 years. It's been part of how they're connecting to their Mexican heritage. They were adopted as a child into a Guatemalan and American family, but they always knew they had ancestral connections to Mexico.
It's been such a journey to feel really secure in my identities, and so having a tradition that I know I will be grounded in each year has been a part of claiming that identity and being more confident in that for myself and finding community.
Zagal helps organize the annual event, and she treasures the cultural connection of celebrating Dia de los Muertos in Anchorage.
I see Dia de Muertos as a place to create a cultural resistance for a community. It's a place where the children of the community and the new generations that are born here and are growing here can have a closer experience to the roots where they come from.
She says the event has been really important for cultural healing, too.
Especially in an environment where being Mexican, being Latino American, or being, you know, from Guatemala, El Salvador, went through a hard time during previous years. This was a way to create a place to connect to identity.
But the event is also open to the entire community in Anchorage. People are invited to create altars and visit the gallery no matter their heritage. Founder and organizer Delgado has seen how significant the event has been for people over the past 19 years, especially for those processing death.
One of the reasons that we have Dia de Muertos in the way that we have it is because it's open and you don't have to be Latina, you don't have to be Mexican, you don't have to be Indigenous, because it's something that we all share. It creates a space for somebody to come when they need it. It's part of healing.
Delgado grew up celebrating Dia de los Muertos, and she says it's shaped the way she understands death.
As my grandmother died, as my father died, it takes on a different meaning because they're here. It makes me not afraid of death. It's important to go back into the earth and go and become part of memory, because memory is what drives change and evolution. And it gives me comfort. It gives me a lot of comfort.
And Delgado says it influences her approaches to the material world.
There is time. You know, we have a saying, there is more time than life. And for me, the values that come with Dia de Muertos make it so that I understand that I am impermanent in this plane. And so I can't hold on to things that nobody possesses.
But for as long as she's still in the material world, she'll put up altars every year. The water, the salt, the flowers, the pan de muerto, and the light that guides the dead to the celebration. And she and the other organizers invite Alaska to join. In Anchorage, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Hedge funds are buying stocks at the fastest pace in 2 years. I'm Nova Safa with the Marketplace Minute. That's according to a research note from Goldman Sachs, which attributes the change to hopes that the Federal Reserve is done raising interest rates. Those same hopes have also brought down interest on bonds, which in turn can reduce rates on consumer loans, including mortgages. The Center for Disease Control is expecting a rise in respiratory illnesses, so it's asked 2 health testing firms to expand checks for them at 4 airports. Those are in San Francisco, New York, Boston, and Washington, D.C. A measure of business activity by S&P Global showed the 5th consecutive month of decline in the eurozone. That indicates a potential recession among the 19 countries using the euro currency. I'm Nova Safo with a Marketplace Minute.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
Good afternoon and welcome to your Island Messenger for Monday. It is the 6th day of November, the year 2023. The sun rose today at 8:34 this morning. It will set again at 5:11. That will give us 8 hours and 36 minutes of precious daylight, a loss of 4 minutes and 31 seconds compared to yesterday. Our record high for this date was 56 degrees in 1924. A record low temperature was 8 degrees set in 1975. It's currently 34 degrees under fairly fair skies here in Kodiak. That's 1 degree centigrade. Out at the airport, they have calm winds, 54% humidity, and 10 full miles of visibility. The Weather Service is calling for mostly sunny skies, becoming partly cloudy overnight. Isolated showers after 3 p.m., high near 41, west winds to 15, gusting to 20, and look for a chance of rain and snow tomorrow between 9 a.m. and noon, followed by just plain rain. That rain could be heavy at times tomorrow afternoon. High near 42 tomorrow with southwest winds turning to the east and coming up to 30 miles per hour tomorrow morning, could gust as high as 35. Look for that rain to continue through Tuesday night and into Wednesday for a while. Looking at our local tides, we have a low tide coming up this afternoon. That will happen at 3:14 here on the east side and be 4.2 feet, followed by a high tide at 8:38 this evening of 6.5 feet. Over on the west side, your low tide will happen at 4:04 p.m. and be 6.3 feet in Larsen Bay, followed by a high tide at 9:09 p.m. of 9.7 feet. Mariners, here is your weather forecast for Marmot Island to Sitkanek out to 15 nautical miles offshore. Gale warning tomorrow. For today, west winds to 20 knots and seas to 5 feet, southwest 20 tonight with 7-foot seas, and for tomorrow, east 30 knots, except north of Dangerous Cape, south 15, becoming northeast 35 in the afternoon, with seas to 7 feet on our east side tomorrow. For tomorrow night, look for southeast 35, seas to 11 feet. Over in the Shelikof Strait, Gale warning for tomorrow there as well, with southwest winds to 25 knots for today and tonight in the Shelikof and 6-foot seas. For tomorrow, east 20 will become northeast 45 in the afternoon. 5-foot seas will build to 15 feet tomorrow afternoon in the Shelikof. And for Tuesday night, look for northeast winds to 50 knots, 5-0, and seas to 18 feet. Meetings coming up in the Kodiak Island Borough include tomorrow's meeting of the Women's Bay Service Area Board. They will be having their regular meeting in the Women's Bay Fire Hall at 5:30 p.m. On Wednesday, the Planning and Zoning Commission will be having a work session in the Borough Conference Room at 6:30 p.m. And this Thursday, the Assembly will be having a work session in the Kodiak Island Borough Assembly Chambers at 6:30 p.m. All these meetings are open to the public. Packets are available at the Kodiak Island Borough website. Contact the Borough Clerk's Office at 907-486-9310 with any questions. Also, the Kodiak City Council will be having a work session tomorrow. That's happening at 7:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's multipurpose room. That meeting will also be broadcast live here on KMXT at 100.1 FM and live streamed from the Kodiak City of website, where you can also find the meeting packet. And they will also be having a regular meeting on Thursday with the same details, 7:30 p.m. on Thursday, for the Kodiak City Council's regular meeting in the Kodiak Public Library. Tomorrow, the Galley Tables Workshop for Youth Scuttlebutt continues. That's 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. in the Kodiak Public Library's Craft Room, their weekly storytelling workshop for students in grades 9 through 12 to practice building and sharing stories with the help of experienced storytellers. Call 907-486-7396 for more information. Also starting tomorrow, Kodiak College's partnership with the Hospice and Palliative Care of Kodiak, Planning for Life's Changes. That's starting at 6 p.m. tomorrow at Kodiak College, BBB Room 128. In the first session on Tuesday, you'll learn from a panel of experts in the field who will help you understand the importance of advanced healthcare directive, a durable power of attorney, and a will. They'll also share local resources that are available. Ages 18 to 108 are welcome. And again, that all begins at 6 p.m., expected to go through 8 p.m. tomorrow at Kodiak College, room 128. Also tomorrow, the Alaska Department of Fish and Game having their Kodiak Regional Planning Team meeting. That's happening via Zoom starting at 9 a.m. Topics include an overview of the 2023 releases, returns for Katoy Bay and Pillar Creek hatcheries, 2023 salmon harvest in ADFNG and KRAA data collection and research projects, as well as a discussion of designating criteria for unique and wild stocks in the Kodiak area. The meeting is open to the public and for public participation. For more information, including the Zoom link, contact Takoda Edlund, that's T-A-K-O-D-A dot E-D-L-U-N-D, at alaska.gov. On Thursday, there will be an interactive health fair featuring fat bears with a Kodiak twist at Kodiak High School. View fat bear art and photography of local artists and visit a variety of booths. Donate canned goods to the local Brother Francis shelter. Dispose of used sharps. You can get your flu vaccine and bring your kiddo's favorite stuffed animal for a checkup and be entered to win prizes, much more, free and open to all ages. That's on Thursday at the Kodiak High School from 5 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. The Gather and Grow workshop begins on Thursday as well. Learn how to build stronger connections with the people you care about and with yourself in this free 6-week course that begins. Well, I guess it's been running. But our next one is Thursday, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the KIHA Family Center. If you have any questions, contact Ellamy Tiller at 907-486-6171.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT 2 times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.